Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer, and Jimmy the Mobile Boy has walked in as well today. So we got our full crew back, and, you know, hour one, we heard about diving in Palau, the Lionfish Derby going on in the Keys, and also, you know, the Scuba Cowboys on his way to Boulder, Colorado for the Weaver Travel A1A dive travel show. And we're stuck in a studio. But I felt sorry for these guys because last week I was a jet setter around the world and I was, calling them from my satellite phone at 11,000 feet. Way better than a drunk dial, by the way. You did get that call, right?
The 11,000 feet call?
Well, it's one and the same.
But I thought they were the same. Some of the sentence structures were a little odd.
Well, when you're up that high, we might have been suffering
narking
from
out.
Hypoxia or something. It's anybody's guess. But it was cool. I was like, dude, I'm at 11,000 feet, man. I'm in a private plane going down to dive in Sabre. Don't you wish you were me?
Actually, that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fun.
Yeah, it sounded fun.
I felt bad.
That bitch bastard.
From the standpoint that I needed to come back to the studio and hang with you guys at least for a little bit. Is that fair enough?
Oh, well,
I understand
feel better
where
now,
that would feel bad. Yeah. You'd feel bad about that.
By the way, we're going to connect with Pete from Scuba Board right now. And I don't know, he might sound kind of different than normal. I don't know. Pete, how are you, buddy? Welcome.
Hi. Am I sounding different than normal now?
He sounds exactly the same. Weird, isn't it? Yeah, actually, he's using, you're using half of this new technology that we're experimenting with. Now, in hour one, we talked to Phil Nico, the rock star of Dive Masters from West Palm Beach. And, we were using this new technology. It allows us to connect anywhere around the world to make it sound like they're in the studio. Now, what Pete has going on down in the Keys today is he has that set up on one side. So you do sound much better than a regular cell phone call or a regular phone line, which is good.
No. I mean, cellular phone has its limitations.
Well, it does, especially in the Keys. The cell service down there really blows. And actually, he's speaking
in flow.
The shell phone, exactly. Yeah, see, we can pick up all these puns that Pete throws out there in much better, fidelity. So there's a downside to this technology,
you can't put a pun filter on this thing. Right. This is the 21st century, for goodness
sakes. I'm sure that there will be an app for that eventually.
Call me Pun Felion.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't get any better, folks.
It's constant 24-hour-a-day punishment.
Well, anyway, you sound a little bit better than you typically do, Pete. So it's good to at least...
Normally, you sound like absolute gone-awful crap.
That. Wait, say that again, Pete?
It didn't improve the puns, and I apologize for
that. Yeah, well, exactly. What are you going to do? But we'll talk to you anyway. What's going on? Yeah, obviously, you're not participating in the Lionfish Derby thing going on today down there. I assume you're aware of that. In,
of
Penny
course
Camper.
We are, and yeah. We're actually advertising for them and putting, getting people down here involved in it. I'm
right.
Actually getting ready for Dive Heart in the morning.
Ah, okay. So you got
we're taking 50 people diving who are what we call, adaptive scuba, because unlike you and I, they can't do it on their own.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. And so the thing is that you have that thing going on at the same time as this Lionfish Derby, and so your scuba board crew is multitasking. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when you have 250,000 members, it's easy to multitask.
Well, there you go, of course. Yeah, and I'm just trying to make sure that you got the better end of the stick on this time.
You know, I have a real passion for helping disabled people diving because for once in their lives, they can stop being disabled and being looked at as someone who's disabled, and they're seen as a scuba diver.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm not a quadriplegic. I'm a scuba diver, you know, and it frees them to really experience something that a lot of people who can don't even try, you know, and they get to go down there and see the fishies. And this is going to be in a pool tomorrow, but still just breathing on compressed air. They get to go play Jacques Cousteau for a while.
Well, very nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they do great work. Is Jim Elliott coming in for this event as well, himself, personally, or no?
I don't believe so. I think he's doing a Wounded Warrior project. Like, you know, scuba board, he's got lots of projects going on all over the place, and, you know, he can't be everywhere. So I think we're going to have about 20 volunteers or so from scuba board coming in to help tomorrow for the thing. It's going to be in Miami Beach, and the bear's coming. It's going to be a big to-do. It should be really fun.
Nice.
Did you say there was a bear coming?
You said there was a bear coming, Pete said? Or no, he didn't say that, did he?
Weather coming.
Yeah.
Oh, weather. I thought you said there was a bear coming. A bear? Why are you bringing a bear?
Well, that would just be festive.
I mean, if it was South Beach, I would understand. Sometimes they have whole weeks committed to them. But, I mean, I didn't understand.
If I came bare, they would be chased out of the pool. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, no one.
Okay. Hey, you know.
You make a really strong point.
Yeah, maybe.
Peter, are you wearing any clothes?
Let's just marinate on that mental image for a second.
Jimmy the Bubble Boy is confident that half the time you talk to us, you're naked.
Really?
Is that true? Or, as I tried to explain
what happened to that conversation, only
from the waist down.
Whoa. What happened to that conversation of what happens on the commercial break stays on the commercial breaks? Yeah.
Well, so I got three reasons why that can't happen.
And the rest of the keys gets posted on scuba board. So.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, did you... You didn't go diving for the lionfish, I take it, this morning, though. Did you or not?
He said no.
He didn't do any of it.
I wasn't able to. I'm getting things ready. You know, when you're taking that many people, especially people who have individual needs diving, you've got to prepare yourself. It's not fair to them to come in and do it on the fly.
Well, I understand. But the reason I was asking is, you know, earlier we were talking to Casey, and he said last year they got 700 lionfish over that Saturday and Sunday in Penny Camp Park. I'm wondering if they're going to do better or worse this year. What do you think?
They do worse.
I'm hoping, but you know, I got a feeling it'll be worse.
My opinion that they will do better or worse.
So you're gonna take the over and the under.
The only way you lose is if they tie.
Be
better or worse? I'm betting $100 on that. Anyone want to take me up on it?
James, what do you think?
I'll do that. I'll take him up.
He'll take him?
Yeah.
All right. If he's naked.
Take that action.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, we'll find out, I guess, next week. What else has been on your radar lately there and, you know, chimed in or chatted about in the scuba board chat boards or chat rooms?
Well, you know, SEI has now fully accepted responsibility for the handling of all the YMCA cert cards, which is really great because people who were certified by YMCA were stuck between a rock and a hard place. YMCA didn't want to deal with it, and they wouldn't let SEI take care of it. So now SEI has been given the authority to reissue cards for people who were YMCA certified.
And that includes when they're actually given that card doing the dance? The YMCA thing, you know?
I don't know that they have to do the dance anymore.
Well, then why would you bother? Just saying. That's part of the...
Well, if you want to go diving, you have to have a C card. If you've lost your C card and your YMCA, instead of being out of luck, you can now go get one.
Well, I understand. But still, when you say I'm a YMCA diver, you can actually do the dance. I'm a YMCA diver.
Have you ever tried to sing that underwater? It's harder than it looks.
Why would I do this?
Because you aren't a YMCA diver. I mean, there's
be
no
a
point
YMCA
in
diver. If you're going to do it, you got to sing it underwater.
Okay.
Bear! Well,
I guess that's better than a squirrel. Didn't it? Well, I thought you said bear.
I did say bear, but ADHD. How would that be better than a squirrel?
Well, like...
Squirrel!
He has ADHD.
Bear!
Yeah, we've been drinking.
What the show is not going up.
It's Scuba Radio Happy Hour time. What are you going to do? More coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to DeepwaterK.com.
Time now for Scuba Radio's forgotten acronyms in diving history. FADH, or as we like to call it around here, FAD.
Benevolent Operators Oogling Babes in Erotic Scuba Gear. Boobies.
This has been Forgotten Acronyms in Diving History, FAD, on Scuba Radio.
And we're sorry. Okay, so, you know, I feel a little guilty because, you know, Jimmy and Bill, the producer, didn't get to come on with me and Clay and the fine folks that I met on the liveaboard last week. And if you didn't catch the show, go back and listen to it because it's quite interesting from the standpoint that the folks on board, there were two couples, really nice folks that I got to hang with for the week, and they had never been on a liveaboard trip before. And
too busy wife swapping?
I don't know. I don't think so. But, no. You know, what? To each his own. But,
well, actually, to each the other ones, but go
okay,
on.
Okay, whatever. But they were really nice folks, and and it was very interesting to get their perspective. That's what I love, you know, doing when we're on these trips.
You know,
at least I should say when I'm on these trips.
Yeah, that has always been the thing I've taken away from your exposure to going away on these trips. Yeah, I'm there for perspective. I'd like to know from people whose lives suck what it's like to get to take just 1 week, maybe a decade, and go and live aboard a boat and see what that's like, as opposed to me where I get to do it, you know, monthly.
Yeah, you know, one of the things Bill always says to me when I come back from these trips, and I tell him about...
there's a lot of things I say. We can't say all those things on the air.
Well, what happens on the commercial breaks, you know. But the things we can talk about are things like, you know, Greg, you know, I know it's quite an arduous task to travel around the world and do these liveaboard trips. I did
Sounds
figure
like
it out
me.
That the Save a Liveaboard I did with Explorer Ventures last week was, I believe, my eighth time.
You suck so
just on
bad.
That itinerary. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how do I keep things fresh? How do I keep things interesting to me? Do I get jaded after a certain amount of time?
And the answer is yes.
Bath salts.
No, they try to tell me the answer is yes, because they would like me to stay home and send them instead. But that just won't happen, because what ends up happening
is
meet these other people on the boat that haven't been on the trip before. And it kind of brings me back to my first time diving. And we think about, you know, what it was like when we came out on this liveaboard trip for the first time.
What was it like when you came out?
Anyway, so, you know, the thing was, is that that's how I keep things very interesting, because it's fun to share, because you know what's about to happen next, and they have no clue, and you know that one of the, you know, dives we got coming up in the afternoon after lunch is going to blow their socks off, and you can't wait to kind of see their reaction and experience, and you can't help but get swept up in their enthusiasm, and that's what happened on the trip last week. As it does on most of my trips. So, you know, there'll usually be one or two people that never been on a liveaboard trip before. And then,
which explains why they're wearing socks diving.
Well, not anymore, because they got their socks blown off.
Right. Yeah. But the only way that happens is if you wear your socks diving.
Yeah. Okay.
And most seasoned divers won't do that.
Well, they would be aqua socks, you know. And
well, Greg, who was your dive buddy? Did you have a dive buddy?
Yeah. Well, I dove with Tuna. You know, I dove with a lot of the crew, actually, last week. And actually, all the dives we did, because the two couples on board were relatively, you know, they weren't new divers, but they had never been on a liveaboard trip before, so they didn't have a ton of diving experience. But they were actually very capable, very good divers. So we all dove in a group. There was only six people on the boat anyway, so we kind of
There was room.
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of room. You can do 18 people, 18 passengers. We had six. It was actually coming off of a down week, and that's what happened. They were doing some maintenance on the boat, and Clay from Explorer Ventures, he called me up literally about 5 days before the trip, and he said, hey Greg, I got to fly my plane down and take some equipment over to the Turks and Caicos boat and then run down to Saba and get on the boat, take them some stuff, and I figured I'll stay on the boat. You want to come and play co-pilot? You can come down and do Just Plane Radio from the air and talk about the journey of flying down through the Caribbean on a private plane. I'm like, hey, so wait. And then we'll get off and get in the plane. Get on the boat and go do the liveaboard for a week. So we actually flew down to St. Kitts and got on the boat and did the liveaboard trip from St. Kitts back to St. Martin. Then I flew commercial back from St. Martin. And
Was that hard to adjust to?
As far as what?
Flying commercial.
It was.
Do you feel like, do you guys need me to do anything? I really feel like I should be pushing buttons or flipping knobs.
I was in charge of the ditch bag. And when I said that to the stewardess, she kind of gave me a cockeyed look, and you know, which is something I'm kind of used to.
Yeah, surprise.
Well, you're wearing a parachute.
She didn't quite understand what I meant by that. But anyway.
That makes at least two of us.
Yeah. Well, a ditch bag in a private plane literally is the same thing you would have in a boat.
Okay.
So we behind the captain's chair, he had set up a dry bag, and it was filled with a Nautilus Lifeline.
Okay.
One of those things we use diving, like a VHF radio and GPS coordinated thing, kind of locator device. We actually had one of those. We had my satellite phone. We had some flares. We had a inflatable raft and some, Mustang PDFs.
And two bottles of rum.
And a box of Pop-Tarts and two six-packs of beer.
Actually, three bottles of rum.
Oh. Okay.
And forget about the Pop-Tarts.
But he's more of a toaster strudel guy.
Okay. We'll survive on a liquid diet.
Plenty of calories.
Pilots.
In there.
I mean, you know, pilots, pirates, same kind of thing. You know, so... Anyway, it was a great experience.
How many episodes of Just Plain Radio before you realized that pilots and pirates were not the same thing?
Arr, 80, matey. I don't know. But it was a great experience. And yeah, you do get spoiled flying in a private plane. You know, you don't have to. You got to work through some paperwork thing with customs and stuff like that. But it's really
it's not the same experience, is it?
No,
it's not you and 80 of your closest friends barreling off the plane at the exact same minute.
No, you kind of go somewhat at your own pace.
You land at the airport,
leisure.
You stroll up to the customs desk. Yeah. And you knock on the window and see if anyone's home.
You know, it's very comparable to going out on a commercial dive charter compared to a liveaboard dive trip.
Oh yeah.
So that's how I would give you some reference, Bill, to think about what
we have to talk more about these couples, though, because Neil Watson is not only a great diver, not only the dive god, but he is a great instructor to divers. I don't know if he's actually a dive instructor, but I know that as a person who's capable of taking wisdom that he has accumulated over the years and passing it on to other people, I believe he is unparalleled. And clearly, there's some of this information which they need to get from Neil.
All right. Well, we'll share that after the break. He is the dive god, so what he says pretty much goes. And you'll hear all about it next.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Okay, so what is the dive god's little tidbit of information when it comes to dive instruction or guiding a couple?
Are you really asking this? Have you learned nothing from Neil Watson over the years? Not one single thing? No wives on dives.
No wives on dives.
I mean, really,
dives.
Seriously, it is the very first thing that I learned from Neil Watson.
Well, you
no
learned...
No wives on dives.
You learned the first half, just no wives. Maybe.
Well, actually, I think that's how he starts it.
Yeah, exactly.
I distinctly... We were at a like a film premiere down in Fort Lauderdale, and somehow we ended up all going out, and we decided to film a show... Yeah. You and Neil were drunk off of your behind.
What?
And I was so irritated because you guys are just so obnoxious when you're drunk. And we're trying to record a show, and you guys were out eating dinner. And I remember him telling the story about when he came up with his rule for no wives on dives, and then the story about the dive wreck dive that he had where he dove off the dive boat, and he came back to the boat, and they're following the line back, and the line's not going up, the line's going down.
He's like, wait, there's a wreck I didn't know existed. Oh, wait a minute.
He ends up coming back to his dive boat, and it's underwater, it's on the bottom,
and
35 feet away.
I mean, good times.
They're just great stories, but I distinctly remember that day.
That was in the Bahamas, actually.
Oh, it was in the Bahamas.
And
That's absolutely right.
That was Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to record a show. And
trying.
We came back.
And this is what I remember. Yeah. I remember you thinking it was the greatest show in the history of radio when we were recording it. That was so great. That was the best show ever. And I'm thinking, you know, honestly, I think, I mean, Neil is really able to, of all of the great things that Neil Watson's great at, that man can talk clearly and distinctly when he is just hammered.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets
you don't
better.
Lose a single word when he's a solid two-thirds of the way through a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, not quite as succinct.
Well, right after the show, I thought it was the greatest show ever. Then I sobered up. I'm like, oh, crap, we're going to have to work over Thanksgiving weekend. And then I went back and listened to it, and it was the greatest show ever. So, see, I was right the first time. You got to follow your gut instinct or the booze.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba.
Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Isn't this exciting?
It is.
It's fun.
You know what? I think I'm going to skip the scuba diving.
Ruben, no, no, you called 8 hotels. They all said that this guy was the best.
I know, but you know how I am about boats, and I'm feeling a little queasy.
Oh, no, your stomach's acting funny.
It's okay now, but I think it might, you know how it gets, you know? So why don't you go?
We're on a honeymoon. I'm not going to go without you.
No, you've been wanting to try this. I want you to go, okay?
Oh.
It'll be fun. I'll pick you up like at 4 o'clock, all right?
I love you.
Yes, Motley Crue talking about the thing we like to do best. Scuba diving.
Thank you. Wow.
Greg, sure. The Dive Master, Bill, the producer, Jimmy, the bubble boy. All right, so I'm reflecting on some of my adventures last week down in Ceiba, and one of the things I want to throw out there to you as well, Bill, you'll appreciate this, is being that was like my 8th time on that trip.
How am I possibly going to relate to this in any way? Well, I've been on a liveaboard dive trip for a total of 8 days.
Yeah, well, that's one way to do it. But no, let me tell you something. What's kind of cool is when you go back to the same spot, and this could apply to anyone who goes to their local dive, you know, area in the Keys,
right.
West Palm, off the coast of California.
A lot of people have favorite spots to dive.
Well, when you do it this often on a liveaboard trip, you have that same kind of encounter because I actually started to actually remember some of the names of the dive sites for once. Usually it takes, and there's a rule in radio, you have to hear something 8 times before it actually sinks in. And so maybe that applies to the dive sites as well, because now I'm actually starting to remember the dive sites, not necessarily their names or the location
or any features. But no. I saw a fish that looked like that.
Yeah, no.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to try an experiment.
What's that?
Bill needs a raise.
Or what?
I said Bill needs a raise.
Huh?
Bill needs a raise. Five more to go. Don't worry.
Sorry, Bill.
Pig Latin?
I don't know what he's saying. Coming across garbled on this side.
Yeah, really.
Bill needs a raise.
Real beads and nays, Bill. Real beads.
Bill, real mayonnaise.
You need some real mayonnaise, Bill?
Real mayonnaise.
Okay.
Hellman's real mayonnaise.
I don't know what you're saying, but
Bill,
I'm getting hungry.
Bill needs a raise.
What?
Bill needs a raise.
Okay. He said something.
Still beads.
Bill needs a raise.
Your lips move, but I cannot
understand what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe more than 8 times that you need to hear it then.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, there's this other element, selective hearing.
I understand.
And that comes into play sometimes.
Jimmy the Bubble Boy needs a drink.
Yeah. But anyway, my point has nothing to do with Bill. It has to do with the fact that going back to the same site, what is cool about that is it never gets old. And when you start to get familiar with your dive site, and what would bring it back is every time when the dive master would come up and do the briefing, like, oh, yeah, that's that dive. And I remember where this was. And I remember this is where I used to see this octopus hang out on this one particular site all the time. And I went down and I'd go to those spots and see if the octopus was there. And sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. You could see there were still remnants of his home and that kind of thing. And it was kind of cool to go back and visit these things. You know, last time we were there was back in October, I believe, or thereabouts. So it hadn't been that long since I'd been on the itinerary and going back this fresh. And now, you know, we're going back on the 4th of October, and I've just been there. So it's going to be really interesting to be able to zero in to, you know, specific critters and my favorite spots. You know what I'm saying? It really allows you to kind of zone in on the things that really got your interest initially, and you can kind of cut out the fat. You know, the stuff that you kind of swam through, wasn't much I wanted to see there. Oh, I want to check out this, and wow, if I would have had more time, I would have liked to sit down and you'll watch this, yellow jawfish blenny or something and kind of settle down with your GoPro camera and really get that shot you wish you could always get. Getting into that regular routine with a dive site that you've been to many times allows you to do things that you just wouldn't have the opportunity to do before. And it's really rewarding and fulfilling.
And it points something out too, because when you mentioned your yellow jaw blenny, I can tell
a
you...
A jawfish, actually.
Yeah, whatever. I could go 1,000 times, and that would not be the most interesting part of any dive that I've ever been on. But there are things which I might find interesting, which don't really appeal to you.
Wait, hold on.
I love sponges. I could dive around sponges all day long.
You would like the yellow jawfish, and maybe I'm not saying it. Anyway, it's this little white fish with a yellow jaw.
Okay.
Okay, and they live in the holes. You've seen them.
I've definitely seen them.
And they're kind of shy. You can get up maybe about 3 feet from them, thereabouts, before they'll tuck down in their hole. Otherwise, they'll be popping up there, kind of like a garden eel. But they're a little bit more interesting to look at than a garden eel.
And they actually go right along the bottom and back up into their space, right?
No. Well, they go vertical, straight up and down.
Because I've seen some blennies that come out on the bottom. Their holes will be in the sand, and they'll come out along the sand, and then they'll back up.
Yeah, I don't. Blenny. I don't know if blenny's right. Yellow jawfish. I know that
could be something. Anyway, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, the whole story here is that I might find something more interesting than this small fish in the hole. Whereas you may find it fascinating. There's nothing wrong with finding it fascinating. But I might find certain coral structures real interesting and want to explore them for 45 minutes, an hour. And love to do that again.
Right.
I love going on night dives. And I know night dives aren't really your thing.
Well, I didn't do any night dives on this last trip. Because
there are only 5 nights.
Yeah. And
dinner starts early.
Right.
Well, I mean, the thing, if you're going to dive the night dive, that means you're not drinking with dinner.
True.
You're not having an afternoon drink. I didn't drink until later.
I didn't really drink much on this trip.
Sorry, Neil wasn't there?
No, he was not.
There we go.
Yeah. And by the way, I was right. Yellow-headed jawfish is what we're talking about. So they have kind of like a white body and almost translucent and then yellow. And sometimes they'll have their little home. Yeah. In the rocks, in the sand, and they'll put stuff in their mouth and spit it out, and they'll have a little thing around, little wall, house.
There's another type of fish which I find very interesting in the water, which most people don't. I like Sergeant Majors.
Okay. It was funny. Last week, the Sergeant Majors are spawning, they're having eggs right now, and they were either under attack or attacking others, including the divers.
Oh, yeah. They are very territorial.
Yeah.
They actually garden. They tend a small patch
of eggs.
Algae. They grow algae to put their eggs into.
Right.
That's what they do. And then they're super territorial about it, especially when the eggs are in it.
Yeah.
And they grow algae so they can put their eggs into the algae.
Now I actually saw that.
Yeah.
It was at Diamond Rock. Off the coast of Ceiba, that site, that's one of their biggest, most popular dive sites in Ceiba. And there we were cruising around this pinnacle, or this rock that just protrudes up out of the ocean. It's really dramatic. And sure enough, I see a little activity going on right at the base of the rock in the sand. And I see a couple sergeant majors going crazy. And then I notice there's a school of other fish and some trigger fish, and they were attacking their algae and eggs. And the sergeant majors were trying to protect to no avail.
Aww.
And coming after me if I got too close. But it was fun. I mean, it was like a feeding frenzy, like just watching a little bit of nature take place right there in front of you.
Is it because you led all the other fish over there to their algae?
I did. I said, hey, look, man, it's a buffet right there. Help yourself. No, I didn't. I just happened to witness it. And then the other thing...
It's like Finding Nemo, but without a barracuda.
The other thing, I got some of that on film with my GoPro, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to get is yellowtail fish. Very popular Caribbean fish. You see them all over the Florida Keys and the Caribbean. Sometimes they will come up to each other, and they got these big gaping mouths, and they will look like they're kissing each other. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It's either a mating ritual or they're yelling at each other. No wives fish on
dives. No wives.
I don't know.
No fish wives on
dives. But every time I pull out my camera and try to capture that you know, when I'd see it going on, I was like, all right, here, I'm going to get it. I want to get that picture of those two fish going like that. Nothing. I can't. They're shy. They don't want to show their affection in public or something.
It sounds like they're challenging each other. Like some,
you think it's a challenge?
Yeah. Who's got the biggest mouth? I can eat more fish than you.
I don't know, man. It looks cool, though. It's, you know, they're yellowtail snapper is what we're talking about. And that's what they do. They come up to each other, and I don't know, maybe someone listening can fill us in on that.
You're going the wrong way. Turn around.
Turn around.
Turn around. You're going the wrong way.
Bill, you're too close to me. Quit it.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We've got to
get down, get down.
Got to
get down,
got to
get
down.
Got to get down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And by the way, I looked it up on Google. When two yellowtail snapper are going face-to-face and they open their mouths up to each other like they're kissing, basically what's happening is one of them is asking, hey, can you check my breath?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got a big date, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what it is.
Is there spinach in my gill?
I found that on
the internet. I had anchovies. Can you smell them?
They don't eat their own kind.
Cannibal.
Well, actually, wait.
What are you talking about? Yeah, of course they do. They do.
Right. I guess they do.
Big fish eats little fish.
The circle of life.
Big feet means something totally different.
But it is a cool. I've been fortunate to see that behavior quite a bit, actually. But I've never been able to get it on.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen that?
Never seen it ever. Yeah, I hardly ever get to dive.
Well, that's true.
Here in the studio, there's hardly ever any yellowtails.
Well, yeah.
Is that what mermaids, when mermaids do that, is that the same thing?
It's a little different.
I'm not so sure.
Little tiny, oh no.
Check my breath, I think that's what
they're... No, I think they're asking how they taste.
No, I think it's like, hey, do I smell like Fireball? My breath smell like Fireball? Yeah. Anyway, yes. you know, I'm going back October 4th.
Of course you are, you
bastard. So literally, you know, less than 3 weeks from today, we'll be back on the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard with Explorer Ventures.
Like, you can come. More than just him.
No, hold on.
Yeah, this is
did
exactly,
I not call you this week and
this
say,
is exactly
hey.
What you said. Hey, when is your daughter's 5th birthday? Oh, yeah, we're going on a dive trip that day. Want to come?
I didn't ask that first. I did not.
Hey, and isn't your daughter's birthday the beginning of October? Because that's what we thought when we decided to choose that day for our dive trip. Doesn't she have her birthday the beginning of October?
No, let me tell you how this went down. I'm talking to Clay in the airplane. And I'm like, you know, Bill always is complaining about never being able to go on this trip. He goes, I'll tell you what. Go ahead and invite him because you know he won't go anyway.
You guys are starting to figure it out.
No, but seriously.
That's important. I'm a married man.
He did. You know, Clay was nice. He was nice enough to make the offer. And, you know, you couldn't go. But he made the offer, Bill.
Oh, interesting. So yeah. Clay's the one who made the offer.
Well,
so, like,
he made
Clay
the
called and
he
asked
made
me.
The offer. He made it available for me to ask you. Okay. He said. He said, yeah, go for it. He's like, Bill will never go. So, but you know, yeah. don't be like Bill. There's still actually a couple spots left if you want to get on last minute for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. And let me tell you something. As the crew members know that were on the boat last week, there were a couple of them that were on the one that we were on last October. And they were asking, oh, wow, you're on board. We heard you were coming. And, you know, where's the scuba cowboy? Where's the mermaid? Well, they're not coming. Like, what? They were a little let down, but we had a good time regardless. But they was like, man.
You had a fine time. They were horribly disappointed.
No, actually. No, I got to tell you, there was this one guy, Willie. He was a great guy. I think he's from Mexico, and he's a real nice guy. He's one of the dive masters. He came up to me on the first night when I was setting up my gear, and he says, "Man, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again, man. That we, you know, when you guys were here last time," he goes, "that was my second week on the boat, and that was such an amazing time. I had no idea. I thought every week was going to be like that because it was so crazy and insane and a little bit bigger and."
Yeah, here
you know,
we are
nuttier.
50 weeks down the road.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I realize that wasn't the average week.
Aww.
Not that every other week isn't good. But for the crew especially, they appreciate the little song and dance routine, the mermaids, and the music, and the entertainment that we throw into the mix, the live show, and the whole thing. They kind of kick things up a notch. And so they appreciate it and know that it's a little, you know, a step above your typical trip. Not, like I said, you can go any week with Explorer Ventures and have just the time of your life. But if you go, when we go on October 4th from St. Martin and cruise around Saba and know that I've been on it, well, now it'll be the 9th time. I know where to zero in on the cream of the crop activities and fun things that we can see.
Unless you like night diving, whereupon you have absolutely no insight.
No. We'll do some. we'll do a night dive or two, maybe. Or
you,
I'll send Tiffany.
You will
do
a night dive? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Tiff.
But I know where to go on Saba. We're going to go.
There's a cowboy might do a night dive.
There's a spot we're going to go hang out on Saba in the afternoon and watch the sunset. We're going to maybe do a little party on Friday night. We're talking about going over to the beach in Nevis. These are little things that you don't typically do on a regular week. So it's definitely a step above. And if you want to go, trust me, you want to go the week we're going. There are a couple spots left, so if you and your buddy or you got a spouse or someone you want to bring out and show them the time of your life.
So you and your buddy, or failing that, the person you're married to.
Whatever works for you. You know, whatever makes you happy, bring them, because they will have a blast. You will have a blast. The airfare is still remarkably reasonable right now. It's actually not any higher than what, you know, I paid 6 months ago. So go book it. And give Explorer Ventures a call and tell them you want on board the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise October 4th for their Saba itinerary. And remember that Scuba Pro is going to be on board with us. So they're bringing on a bunch of gear for people to demo for the week and try out. Fins, masks, BCs, regulators. And last time they gave away quite a bit of stuff. Everyone went home very, very happy. And we got some of our friends from Spare Air are bringing some of those out for you to try those out if you've never dove with a Spare Air. Great opportunity to sample that little device. And who knows? We might send some folks home with one or two of those as well. So a lot of extras into the mix, including a broadcast from the deck of the boat. Now, Bill, you really want to go, right? You want to go?
Actually, I really do want to go. If we can change my daughter's birthday, I'm in.
Okay. I'll put you down as a maybe. All right. Till next time, remember, it's always better where?
Down where it's wetter.
Yeah. Safe dive, everyone. Safe.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.